For you've called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Christian service is in our DNA. My first Christian culture was the Salvation Army. And 35 odd years ago, you'd be up and you'd be doing at 9 o'clock in the morning an open air somewhere on the street. After that, you'd then go and do a morning service. And then potentially in the afternoon, you'd go to a rest home or maybe the prison. And then you would end the evening with another service. Sunday was anything bar a day of rest. But what drove that sort of thing is the Salvation Army motto, which is... No. I can't believe you've forgotten. The motto was, the Salvation Army is save to serve. So where's this sense of service come from? It really starts in the Old Testament, and I'm only drawing out two verses. I have printed a sheet once before that had all the verses about helping the poor and the orphans, but here's a couple. Proverbs 14, verse 31. If you mistreat the poor, you insult your Creator. Psalm 82, 3 to 4. Defend weak people and orphans. Protect the rights of the oppressed and the poor. Rescue the weak and the needy. Help them escape the power of wicked people. So serving others is an Old Testament concept. It's not new to the church. Jesus then picks up on this whole thing of being a servant. He says to the disciples in Matthew, whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And because it's such an important concept, he says it again later on in Matthew, the greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And then there are these very challenging words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? And did we not perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Go away, you evil doers. And he goes on to say, these are the people I know, those who help the poor, those who help the needy, those who offer cups of water, help in my name. They are the ones I know. And Jesus says to them, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice are the wise person who builds a house upon a rock. Anyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is the one that builds their house upon the rocks. It's not enough just to hear it. That's not building your house upon the rock. It's putting the words and the thoughts and the actions of Jesus into action. We then move along to the example of the early church in Acts, when they were all together, that they sold everything, they shared everything, they lived together. No one was with need because they looked after one another. And we know that at that time God added to the church in miraculous ways. People were drawn to this love and action. Last week, Andrew talked about the church meeting in Jerusalem where They'd got together and they discussed the theological issue of to be circumcised or not to be circumcised. And they debated it and they talked about it and they mulled over it and then they came to their decision and they ran with it. Galatians 2, Paul talks about this particular incident. He says that these leaders who seemed to be important did not change the good news that I preached. It doesn't matter to me if they were important or not. To God, everyone is the same. But these leaders saw that I was given the work of telling the good news to those who were not Jewish, just as Peter had the work of telling the Jews. God gave Peter the power to work as an apostle for the Jewish people, but he has also given me power to work as an apostle for those who are not Jews. James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be the leaders, understood that God had given me special grace, and so accepted Barnabas and me. They agreed that we should that they would go to Jewish people and that we would go to not those who weren't Jews. So he was talking about the discussion that they had and the whole theological thing. But then Paul adds this. The only thing they asked us was to remember to help the poor. Something that I really wanted to do. They've just had this great theological discussion and yet the parting thing was, don't forget the poor. Don't forget to serve others. Paul continues on this message. In Romans he says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And then in James, real religion is the kind that passes the muster before God the Father is this. Reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight and guard against corruption with the godless world. So DNA, our DNA is to serve. Right from the very beginning of God's word, the Bible, all the way through to the apostles and beyond, our DNA is to serve. It's a core foundation and practice of our faith. Now, does anyone know what significant event happened in the church at about 313 AD? Lynn, you were around then, weren't you? You remember that one? You don't remember? It's quite significant. Hugely significant. No. Constantine. At 303 AD, the Emperor Constantine issued an edict of Milan which accepted Christianity. 10 years later, had it become the official religion of the Roman Empire. And in my own opinion, this was possibly the worst thing that ever happened to Christianity. Because we moved from being a group of persecuted people who had to rely on one another for our own survival to suddenly becoming to a position of power, to a position of authority. We were now in control of everyone. And so we move from serving others to serving self, from helping others to controlling others. Sure, there were lights in the darkness who served the needs of others, but they were the exception. And even after the Reformation, things didn't get much better, really. And we see that in the Western Church, the part that the Church played in colonization and imperialism, that wherever they went from their position of power, they determined what indigenous people needed. and imposed changes that took away their culture, their custom and identity. The goal was not to create the kingdom of heaven, but just to replicate the homeland. And this attitude is so, so different to that of Paul. He said that I am free and belong to no one, but I make myself a slave to all people to win as many as I can. To the Jews, I become a Jew to win the Jews. I myself am not ruled by the law, but those who are ruled by the law, I become like a person who is ruled by the law. I did this to win those who are ruled by the law. To those who are without the law, I become like a person without the law. I did this to win those people who are without the law, but really I am not without God's law. I am ruled by Christ's law. To those who are weak, I become weak so I could win the weak. I have become all things to all people so I could save some of them in every way possible. You see, Paul's attitude was that he would work within the culture and the situation that he was in. He would become like them to win them. He wouldn't come in and oppose something that was different. He would get within their culture and within that environment present Jesus and how Jesus could be worked out within that culture. It's 2022. Where do we stand? I found this little devotion from a guy called Peter Maron. Goes like this. In the first century of Christianity, the poor were fed, clothed, sheltered at personal sacrifice. And the pagans said about Christians, "See how they love each other." Today, the poor are fed, clothed, and sheltered by politicians at the expense of taxpayers. And because the poor are no longer fed, clothed and sheltered at personal sacrifice, but at the expense of taxpayers, pagans say about Christians, "See how they pass the buck." Now, it's not a bad thing that there is government assistance. In fact, much of the social things that have happened have been driven by people who believed in Jesus. We're driven by people who understood that it wasn't right that people be oppressed by the rich, that people be oppressed because some people may get wealthy and the poor don't. They understood that there was a requirement to help the poor, to help those that were in trouble, that there needed to be a sense of justice. Except the problem is still the same. Government agencies still determine from their position of power what people need. Has the church passed the buck of personal sacrifice? It seems that in general we still have this idea that if we create a program, employ some people, that they will help the people. I don't have to get involved. But even then, this is still done from a position of power and a sense of superiority, and often not really engaging with those who we are called to help. So what's the answer? What about me? Where do I go to from here? Well, in Philippians, we get Paul says that in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. The God who created Taranaki Maunga, the God who created the earth, the God who created all the seas and every single living thing that is within it, the God whose hands created the universe and all the stars, the God who holds everything in the palm of his hands, is the same God who washed with his hands the disciples' feet. The same God whose hands washed the disciples' feet. Can I watch a little video, Tim? Don't think you know someone's need. Get to know someone. Then you'll know how to serve them. And it doesn't take much to change someone's lives. And each of us can do it. Both of our videos showed that it doesn't take much to change someone's life. Let's pray. Lord, to serve each other and to serve those around us is in our Christian DNA. If we call ourselves disciples of Jesus and followers of Jesus, then we need to follow his example. And we may be just one person, and what can one person do? But what one person can do is reach out, love and serve another person. And if enough people reach out and serve another person, then that's a lot of people being served. Lord, open our eyes to opportunities. Open our hearts to opportunities. And then give us the courage to step out, so that the kingdom of God in heaven may be done and established on earth. Amen.